Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.
All right. Welcome back to the second hour of Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. I'm Pastor Marcia, along with Nan and Megan that are on today. We have a team, a radio team. They alternate, and, you know, they're just different times they're on with us, and they're just fun. And I know, Megan, you and Nan enjoy the part of the ministry, this part of the ministry, the radio, don't you? Megan?
Oh, I absolutely. Are you there?
Yeah, Megan, go ahead.
I absolutely adore it. It's another thing on my Sundays that I get to do to glorify the Lord and to share my experiences with Him, with the listening crew that call, you know, that listens in when we're doing the shows. And it's another awesome thing to be on with my sisters, you know, Nan and my mom and Cindy, and then my brother PJ. It's a blessing. I can't thank you enough for this experience.
And Brother Nathan's going to be joining us again soon on the radio team. And
praise God.
Yep, been talking to him, and he's been undergoing a lot of medical issues and getting ready to have some surgery, but he is going to be back on with us fairly soon. So
he is greatly missed.
He is. He really is. So to each of you out there today, welcome back. And this is the second hour of Living the Good Life, and we're talking about the book of Ruth, and we've got some great concepts we're talking about. We're in Ruth chapter 4, and we ended the first hour talking about the fact that at the beginning of Ruth's relationship with Boaz, he is the landowner. He gives her one measure, which is about 6 quarts of barley, to take home and share with her mother-in-law. And then by the end of chapter 3, Boaz now knows her better. And he realizes that he can become her redeemer. And then we're going to talk more about that after the song. But he gives her 6 more measures. So 1 plus 6 is fullness and perfection. How many days of the week are there? 7. So 1 and 6 equal 7. It's about God's fullness in our lives. And we're going to talk a lot about that in this second hour of this show. God wants you to live in fullness. He wants you to live in His favor to such a degree that your life is radically changed. And that's what we want to talk about this hour. And you know what it takes? It takes faith. The group Cutlass, What Faith Can Do. Listen to this song.
Sometimes gotta find the strength to rise from the ashes and make a new beginning. Anyone can feel the ache. You think it's more than you can take, but you're stronger than you know. Don't you give up now. The sun will soon be shining. You gotta face the clouds to find the silver lining. I've seen dreams that move the mountains. Hope that doesn't ever end, even when the sky is falling. I've seen miracles just happen. Silent prayers get answered. Broken hearts become brand new. That's what faith can do. It doesn't matter what you've heard. Impossible is not a word. It's just a reason for someone not to try. Everybody's scared to death when they decide to take that step out on the water, but it'll be alright. Life is so much more than what your eyes are seeing. You will find your way if you keep believing. I've seen dreams that move the mountains. Hope that doesn't ever end, even when the sky
That's what faith can do. That's what faith can do. Woo, I've seen miracles, and boy, I have. Nan, you have something for us?
A little one here.
All right.
You can have so much in me. Reach out in faith and believe. Faith in me is such a wonderful thing. Of these words you can receive. I am with you all the time. I will help you right where you are. Reach out to me, trust, and believe. For little one, I do care.
Yes. Amen. Woo! We are in Ruth chapter 4, and God does care, and he cared about Ruth, and the fact that Naomi's plan was for Boaz to be reminded that he was the close relative that could redeem her, that could buy Naomi's land, and in so doing, take Ruth as wife, to be his wife. Now, Boaz remembers, wait a minute, there is a closer relative. Let's look at Ruth chapter 4. Boaz goes straight to the public square. Now, Naomi had told Ruth at the end of chapter 3, don't worry about what's going to happen here, because Boaz is going to take care of this right away. He's going to talk to the closer relative, the one that has the first rights to the land, to buy it and to take Ruth as his wife. He's going to do this right away. So in Ruth chapter 4, verse 1, Boaz goes straight to the public square. He takes his place there, and before long, the closer relative, the one mentioned earlier by Boaz, strolls by. Is this a coincidence? Absolutely not. God causes this closer relative, we don't even have a name for this guy, okay, to come by, and he sees Boaz sitting there in the public square. It's interesting, Boaz is a type of Jesus, and Jesus always did his ministry out in the public. He didn't rent a big auditorium or whatever, or build a church building. Jesus didn't do any of that. We do in this day and age, mm-hmm. But Jesus didn't do that. He just went right out there in the public, and he healed people on the streets. He preached from, you know, up on the hillside, wherever. Jesus was right there. So Boaz goes to the public square, and he sits down, and he says to the closer relative who comes by, take a seat. So the man sits down. And then Boaz gathers 10 people around him of the town elders. Now, this is no coincidence. 10 reminds us of 10 commandments, right? Mm-hmm. Would we all agree with that? 10 in the word, we know there's the numbers in the Bible are very significant. And this is one of the things that reminds us of the powerfulness and the all-knowing, the omniscience of God, that he keeps everything consistent through the word. The number 5 means grace. The number 4 means worldwide evangelism. The number 3 reminds us of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The number 2 reminds us of our covenant relationship, us and God. 1 reminds us of the complete supremacy of God Almighty. But 10, the number that means is the law, responsibility, and trial. That's the number 10. Now, we're not talking about tribulation and trials. That's the number 40 in the word, like 40 days it rained. Jesus was in the wilderness 40 days fasting. But the number 10 reminds us of the law, 10 commandments. There were not 11 commandments. There were not 8 commandments. There were 10 commandments, right? So Boaz gathers 10, which is a legal quorum. That was basically they went into a court session here, right in the public square. And so 10 of the elders are called to sit down here, and he said, we've got some business to take care of. So they all sit down. Boaz says to the relative, this piece of property, I'm in verse 3 of Ruth chapter 4, this piece of property that belonged to our relative Elimelech is being sold by his widow Naomi, who has just returned from the country of Moab. I thought you ought to know about it. Buy it back if you want to. You can make it official in the presence of those sitting right here before the town elders. You have first redeemer rights. And if you don't want it, tell me so I'll know where I stand. You're first in line to do this, and then I'm next after you. So the first in line, this closer relative, says, okay, sure, I'll buy it. Now in verse 5, then, this is extremely important, then Boaz says, oh, by the way, you do realize that if you buy the field from Naomi, you also get Ruth, the widow of the dead relative, along with the Redeemer responsibility to have children with her and carry on the family inheritance. And so the closer relative was only interested in the land. Mm-hmm. He wasn't interested in taking Ruth as his wife, which is very interesting. This closer relative and these 10, this court thing that was set up here reminds us of the law, okay? It's reminiscent of the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, where the law was given out. You can't do this. You got to do this. You got to do it this way. You got to eat this. Don't eat that. You got to boil it this way. You got to cook it this way. On and on and on. The law, okay? The law is the Ten Commandments, okay? Now, here, the closer relative and these 10 guys here represent the law, and they are given the first opportunity to be the redeemer for Ruth. But the problem is the law only cares about property. It only cares about land. It doesn't care about the people. Now, this series is all about us as individuals finding favor forever. That means that God has a personal interest in each of us, and he wants to be our redeemer, okay? And here in this part of chapter 4, we see that the first that came first was the law. The law came before grace. John chapter 1, verse 17, Jesus says this through John that writes it. He says, the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth were realized in Jesus. Okay? So the law is the first part, the do's and the don'ts and all those regulations that none of us can ever, ever measure up to. And if we had more time, there's a lot of verses in Hebrews and different places that talk about the law and that we can't measure up. But here comes grace, Boaz, and Boaz is representative of Jesus, okay? And when the closer relative, the law, says, wait a minute, I just want the land, but I don't want Ruth. I don't want to raise up children to her dead husband. I don't want any part of that. Nah, that's not what I want. I just want the land. You know, I'm just interested in greed or money. You know, I just want the land. And in verse, well, I don't know what verse it is here. Verse 6, I guess, the relative says, oh, I can't do that. I jeopardize my own family's inheritance. You go ahead and buy it. You can have my rights. I can't do it. Woo, talk to us about this, Megan, and then we'll get to Nan on all of this. Pretty interesting stuff here, isn't it? This little play, this thing that develops here.
Yes, it's very interesting. And you know, the thing that stands out to me the most is that they wanted the land, but they didn't want the baggage that came with the land.
A lot of people are like that, right?
Yes, absolutely. It's like, I don't want the leftover crud that comes with it.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to have to work on it.
Right.
And, you know, that's the thing that stood out to me the most. And that, you know, we are so, even, you know, how would you say that was written back in, what, 1400 BC?
Right.
Is that we're still this way. We still are greedy.
Right.
We only want what we want. We don't want what actually comes as the whole package.
Right.
And the difference between the law and between God's grace is that God will take it all. And
amen.
It doesn't matter what type of baggage you're carrying. He will take it all.
And his role in our lives is one of grace, and it's a responsibility. He takes on responsibility in our lives to clean us up, to provide for us, to shelter us under his wing. He is our refuge. He's our fortress. He's our healer of our bodies. He does take on responsibility, but he cares about each of us individually. Nan, you want to comment on all of that? He cares about all the stuff going on here. If you got an achy knee, he cares about that. He doesn't just care about how much property you own or whatever, you know?
What I was thinking when we were going through that scripture was that Boaz had a plan.
Boaz,
I'm really, I guess, that's right, had a plan. He knew the plan that he had.
Yes.
He knew it. He knew exactly what he was going to do.
Yeah, he did.
He knew exactly what he needed to do for the law of the land at
right.
the time. And
to fulfill
and to fulfill it and what you're supposed to do. He knew
mm-hmm.
what he was doing.
Right.
Just like God knows what he's doing.
And Jesus said when he came to this earth, I didn't come to do away with the law. I came to fulfill it. You know, right? So. And to show us that there is a better way, that we live under grace, not law. You know, grace triumphs the law.
I'm okay? So glad for that, too.
Aren't we glad about that, Megan?
People today say, you know, it's a tough time, you know, being a Christian. It's a tough what you have to do to be a Christian. Look at all they had to do in the law.
Well, exactly. I'm glad I didn't live back then.
I didn't want to live back then. No way.
Absolutely. Megan, talk to us about this.
Well, you know, I'm glad I didn't live back then either, because that would have been a scary time. Things were so in upheaval. But anyway, I'm sorry, I got distracted with Zoe. Bring me back around where we're at.
Okay, so here we are. Boaz gives the closer relative the opportunity to redeem the land and to take Ruth as his wife and raise up children to her dead husband. And the guy says, first he says, I'll do it, when he thought it was just land. And then when he realized a person was involved, a family was involved and raising up children, he says, oh no, that means my kids aren't going to get as much if I have to raise up, if I have to have children now by another wife. Or maybe he knew he had a wife at home who wouldn't go along with him bringing another wife in.
True.
Most wives wouldn't, right? So anyway, but here we see Boaz saying, here, yeah, go ahead. Let's. In other words, the law, so many people get stuck under the law. They get stuck back there in all the rules and regulations and the do's and the don'ts. And they preach it from the rooftops and condemn people to hell from our pulpits across this nation. Yet what do they care about the people? Do they care about the people involved in whatever the situation was? Years ago, they preached against black folks, you know? Now it's against the gay community or whatever. That they've always got a soapbox, you know? Does all that make sense? Did you follow all that now?
It does. I'm sorry I got lost.
That's okay.
But I would, you know, it just brings up something to me. We were attending a church and still hear kind of off and on that one of the, not the first in line minister, but one of the, I don't know what you call him, the next in line, he would take over the pulpit when the main guy had to be on vacation or out of town. But it came about that he committed adultery with one of the members of within the church.
Oh, wow.
And they cast him out of the church, not to be returned. There was no extension of forgiveness of any kind.
Wow.
And still to this day, I mean, that's happened several months ago. Still to this day, that blows my mind.
Yeah.
Because what is the one thing of God's nature that we are supposed to do? And that is to forgive.
Forgive.
And, you know, it goes on so much, even outside of churches, of people condemning each other.
Absolutely.
You know, maybe because someone viewed something different in the Bible than you did, and somebody maybe called you out on something that you did, and it, you know, kind of scared you and made you step away from them because they said something that was bold.
Right.
And, you know, that's the problem with the law. We're so quick to judge before we are to step back, think about the situation and pray. We step forward and judge instead.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely we do. And there is such a need for us today, all of us, to really take a look at this whole thing about grace and the importance of grace. Nan, do you want to talk about that a minute?
Well, it was interesting. The Lord led me to buy a book, and it was about God's grace, and it was right before we started about God's favor teaching. You know, it was right kind of during that period, you know, and it was pretty cool, some of the stuff that was in it. But, God's grace is there for us.
Amen.
And people just need to really, I just feel strongly just people need to really realize and recognize it's available to them. Because sometimes they will have perhaps been so beat down with the law.
Right.
With the rules. I mean, I can remember some of that from a church that I went to that, you know, and it was that, you know, they always spend so much time talking about what you can't do and talking about what you could do, you
mm-hmm.
know?
Exactly.
And you're getting a real legalistic kind of stuff and call it what God is saying to do. And I don't agree with that, you know, but people need to really be able to tone in, hone in that this is available for us.
Well, legalism kills you. I mean, it really does. It's not good for you at all. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10. And I want to bring something out here before we, what time is it? We need to get to another song. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15, 10 after this song. This song is going to bless you. It's by my friend Ray Bolts. Here comes a miracle. Ruth is about to get her miracle.
They followed him on dusty roads, wherever he would lead. Multitudes would gather as he healed each disease. With eyes of wonder, they would watch as he would stop to pray. And when he spoke the word of faith, you could hear them say, here comes a miracle, here comes a miracle.
Oh, can't you feel it?
Can't you feel it in the air? That look is on his face, his glory is in this place, and I know a miracle is near. The lame could walk, the deaf could hear, blinded eyes could see, and those who had been bound for years were suddenly set free. They came in desperation, the hurting and the poor. But when they saw him through the crowd, they knew what was in store. Here comes a miracle, here comes a miracle. In the air, that look is on his face, his glory is in this place, and I know a miracle is near. Still today, we follow him. We claim his word is true. And nothing is impossible. What he says, he'll do. And though this world may doubt us, and though they laugh and stare, someday all men will see the truth when we see him.
Amen.
In the air. Here comes a miracle. Here comes a miracle. Can't you feel it in the air?
Praise God.
His glory will be this place, and I know a miracle is near.
People, believe God right now for your miracle. He's the God of grace and mercy. He cares about you and what's going on in your lives right now. I just feel led to pray right this moment. Let's just agree together right this moment for you, for your needs, wherever you are. We're hearing from more people in other countries. Wherever you are on this big globe, we just ask Almighty God that you intervene in this dear listener's life right now. Lord, you know what he or she needs. You know the problems they're going through. You know the pain that they're going through physically and emotionally, maybe financially, and maybe a marriage or whatever the case may be, problems with kids, whatever it is, Lord, you know. Maybe they've just recently been given a diagnosis that is very bad physically. Lord, we just call down your blessing, Almighty God. We know you're the God of miracles. We know you're the God of the impossible. We know that you are the God of the suddenly moment, that you can suddenly intervene in people's lives. And Lord, right now we feel it very strongly that there are people that are receiving their miracle right now. Lord, we ask that you just touch each one, whatever the need. If it's financial, provide for them. If it's physical, give them healing in their body. If it's emotional, heal the hurts, the wounds, the marriages, whatever it is that needs to happen, the relationships that are all messed up. Lord, we ask you in the name of Jesus to intervene right now and bring the miracle into the lives of these listeners. We ask it in faith, believing that you are God Almighty, the God of blessing, the God that provides for every need that we have, the God that sees ahead and makes provision for our need. That is who you are, and we love you, Almighty God, and we give you glory and praise right this moment for what you're doing in the lives of our listeners. In Jesus' name, this we pray. Amen. Woo, and amen. Wow, Nan, you got a poem, and then we're going to Megan in a minute.
Okay, it's entitled, Your Miracle is Here.
Wow.
Your miracle is on the way to you. Stand still, listen to what I say. You will be able to hear me as you spend time to pray.
Yeah.
I have so many miracles ready for you. Will you accept what I have to offer?
Ooh.
All you need to do is believe it's here. Trust me and don't have any fear.
Yes.
I love you so much. My favor is here. Don't feel that you can't have such. I don't see what you've done or been where you've been, for your life by my son has been touched. The miracles are here for you to receive. Will you believe and reach out for them? It's such a beautiful thing to occur in your life. You just must trust and up on me depend.
Wow. Praise God. Praise God. So whoever you are out there, you can go back and listen to this show at a later time. Receive your miracle. Receive what God has for you. We've been talking about the law versus the grace. And Megan, you want to comment on that before we go to 1 Corinthians 15?
On the law and the grace, or on the claiming your miracle?
Let's go with the miracle. Let's go with the miracle first.
Okay. Well, you know, I think, and I agree and totally agree with you in prayer, that the listeners that are awaiting their miracle, that they are given today.
Yes.
That they stand and have faith that they will receive their miracle today in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And, you know, rebuke the fear. Step out of the cloud and into the light.
Amen.
And claim it.
Amen.
Stop sitting still. Start praising the Lord because
yes.
The miracle is on its way.
Woo!
I want to say something.
Amen.
It's about Megan.
Yes.
You know, Megan has lived such an example of this
very
trusting
thing.
For belief,
sure.
Believing for miracles before us, as she dealt with the various things that she had to deal with you know her child and Grayson, and she was just such an example to all of us around
yes.
her. I mean, I was around her. I was in Florida, but I was still around her because there was communication going on and things like that. And Megan, I just want to tell you thank you for living this before us. You
yes.
set quite an example for us, your church family, and for those who were around you who were unchurched. You know, just people around you. You really lived that, and I like to thank you.
Yes.
Oh, thank you, Nan. You know, hold on, Pastor. It's amazing that what that circumstance has has shown and what people have seen.
Yes.
And it's also unfortunate that there are several people still to this day who choose not just to proclaim what they've seen.
Yeah.
And I pray right now that anybody listening to this show, that what Pastor Marcia just prayed, it can happen.
Yes.
As long as you believe.
Right.
But if you don't believe, it's not going to come. You
yeah.
have got to believe in him, and you have got to surrender your life, and you've got to start praying, people.
Amen.
Because unless you do, you are just, you're going to stay where you're at. You're going to be stale.
That's right. That's exactly right. You know, people can change. You know, a lot of times we say, oh, you know, you get stuck in a rut and you can't change. And in 1 Corinthians 15, we see that Paul says in verse 9, I am the least of the apostles. Now, Paul, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, says he's the least of the apostles. And he says, and I do not even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. He's reminding everybody that as he writes this letter of 1 Corinthians, he's reminding them of his past. And, you know, a lot of us feel that way. You know what? I don't deserve all the favor. I don't deserve the grace. Paul says, but, he goes on, but, with the next verse, verse 10, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it was for they, this is what we preached, this is what we believed. In other words, guys, no matter what our past is, no matter how difficult it's been in whatever you're going through, no matter how many mistakes you feel that you've made and how far away from God maybe you feel that you have wandered, God's grace still reaches to us. And go ahead, Nan.
I would like to read it out of the message, just the
go ahead.
The beginning of the 10th verse.
Go ahead.
In the Message Bible, it says, but because God was so gracious, so very generous.
Woo!
Here I am. I like that about very generous.
Yes. I love that. You know, Graham Cook, and I'm a firm believer in the stuff he writes, and he's just a great prophetic minister of God across this globe. He defines God's grace as God's empowering presence that allows us to rise up above all that we are not to become all that he is. And I love that definition. I'm going to give it to you again if you want to write it down, because so often we feel that we haven't arrived. We're not there. We're not walking in faith like we should, or we've made too many mistakes. Listen to this definition of grace one more time. God's empowering presence that's in us that allows us to rise up above all that we are not to become all that he is. And that old song that we sing at funerals, we sing it all the time. We sing it at nursing home every time we go, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. We all have a past. We all have things, even maybe yesterday or the day before, that you wish you hadn't said or done, or an attitude that you had. We all have those things in our lives, but it's God's grace that rises up within us and causes us to allow those things to be used for God's glory. And we learn from our mistakes and our past. And the grace of God within us causes us for all those things that we are not to become all that he is in us. Megan, you want to comment on that? Then we'll go to Nan on that. Woo, good stuff.
Absolutely, because, you know, I always thought that I would never be a good mom. And that's another reason I waited to have children. And God saw fit that that wasn't the way that it was supposed to be, because with his help, with his guidance, and with his mentoring, I am the mom than I am today, because
right.
Yesterday my son looked at me. He's never said this to me before.
He's 5.
Yesterday I had to do what?
He's 5.
Yeah, he's 5. They're very full of wisdom, though, that little 5-year-old.
Yes.
And I was having a bad day yesterday. It was tough with Zoe. She was a little fussy. And Andrew looked over at me just out of the clear blue sky and said, Mom, you're a great mom. And it's just, you know, it's things like that that the Holy Spirit in those moments remind you
yes.
of who you are
yes.
to the Lord.
Woo!
That you are loving, you are patient,
yes.
you are kind, you're all of those things. And it's just, it's amazing how the Lord speaks to even little children.
Oh,
it's just amazing.
Isn't it? Absolutely. And, you know, even when we think that things aren't going to go the way we want it to go, a lot of times if we'll just be patient and trust God, you know, he works things. He's always working behind the scenes, people. He is always there working on the hearts of the, you know, whoever is involved in your situation, whether it be a business thing or a family thing or a financial thing. Be patient and let God. Let go and let God. That is a statement from, or a kind of a mantra of AA. And let go and let God. In other words, quit trying to fix it yourself. Boaz didn't try to fix it. He didn't say, wait a minute, I want Ruth as my wife. No, he went through the proper channels and he let the closer relative have the first opportunity. Nan, you want to talk about this? It's just allowing God to get done what he wants to do in his timing. That patience aspect comes in right here in Ruth chapter 4 with Boaz. We see Boaz and Ruth being patient.
Well, he did it what I would call the cleaner way.
Cleaner
way. The right way.
Okay.
He didn't try to force and
yeah.
take what she had. And then the one who was actually the closest relative could have made a real big fuss about it.
Right.
And just going to show him that he could get it just because he wanted to get it. You know,
right.
Because, you know, he did the proper way.
Right.
The proper way. And you're talking about the patience, you know. There's times that we wait. Sometimes it seems like a long time on what God
mm-hmm.
has promised
mm-hmm.
us, but that's where we need to have faith.
Yes,
you know, Ruth had faith throughout all this. Ruth had faith in Naomi. Ruth had faith in the God that she served.
Right,
and she had to wait. Sometimes we have to maybe get up and do something. We don't think we should have to go up and do something, but the Lord may be leading us to do it. Like she,
right.
She didn't just sit there and wait for him to come to her.
No,
she went out. She went out. She went
laid
out
at his
field.
Feet. Yeah,
well, she even started earlier.
Yes,
then she went out to get the one.
That's right.
One threshing. Went, you know,
the one measure.
All, one
yeah.
measure. Then the add six. I mean, it was like a progression. But he did it right,
mm-hmm.
and that's the way Jesus is in our life. He does it right. And
amen.
We just have to have faith.
It's so hard, isn't it, girls, sometimes to be patient and let God get everything lined up the way it needs to get lined up?
Yes.
I mean, Megan,
yeah.
Yeah. Can we all agree on that? It just is
yeah.
hard. It's hard.
It's
I mean,
really
we want to fix it ourselves. We want to fix it quick and get the pain over with, you know?
Yes. And, you know, I can confess to that because after Grayson passed away, we wanted to find out genetically what was wrong, what could be wrong possibly with Ben and I, what could we be passing on to our children that caused that problem. And that was something that we were set out and determined to find out before we ever considered conceiving another child.
Right. Right.
The Lord had another plan.
Right.
And, you know, it was amazing because the day that I found out that we were not carriers of any genetic disease was the same exact morning that I found out I was pregnant with Zoe. Same day I got a positive pregnancy test, the genetic counselor called me and cleared us of all genetic abnormalities. So isn't that just, that's just like God,
that
people.
That is too and cool.
You got to take a leap of faith to step forward, and then he's actually just right there, right behind you, waiting to prove to you that, see, I was here the whole time. It just needed to be my way and not your way.
Oh, we just have to believe, don't we? We have to reach out in faith and believe that God's got our situation in his hand and that he loves us so very much. Listen to this song. It fits perfectly by the group, the Cadenas, and the song is entitled Believe.
If you choose to believe. When you let his love
all you really need is to
believe.
All you gotta do is believe.
Wherever you are, whatever you're going through, just put your faith in him. It's gonna be all right. You know, just trying to get you to understand that it all comes down to believing. Even when you can't see, 'cause everything you'll ever need, he's already provided. Just believe.
Praise God, just believe. Great song, says exactly what we've been talking about. You just gotta believe. You just gotta believe. Megan, talk to us about that, because, you know, Ruth put her life, her future, she hadn't had any children, she put her whole future into the plan that God gave Naomi, and she went forward in faith and did her part of that. Naomi did her part, and they were sitting at home waiting to see what was going to happen with this little tribunal out there in the public square. They didn't know what was going to happen, but they trusted God in all of this. You want to comment on that?
Absolutely. You know, it takes a lot of courage for us to have that type of faith.
Yes.
But in the Bible, it says it only requires faith the size of a mustard seed.
Right. Yeah.
That's all it takes. And, you know, it takes you sitting back and relaxing and enjoying the moment. You know, I know that people's storms or people's seasons that they're going through are tough. I've been there. I've had one of my own just recently. And I've had two of them within 2 years because, you know, here, knowing that my child was going to be born, Grayson was going to be born with this congenital disorder. But then I also had to wait upon Zoe to be cleared to know that
right.
she did not have
That's right.
congenital diaphragmatic hernia. So I know all about waiting. And the Lord knows about me that I don't have patience. I don't have hardly any at all.
You're a good one to talk about this subject then, aren't you?
Yes, I am. So he tested me.
Uh-huh.
He really tested me, but I had to sit back and I had to relax.
Right.
And I had to learn to enjoy the moment, even though it was hard.
Yeah.
I had to learn to enjoy my pregnancies and to relax, because stress, the devil, all of those things that he invokes on you, fear, he's trying to distract you from the end result.
Absolutely. And all of that those are distractions, and that's what the devil is constantly trying to do, is to get us off of our faith. Our focus of faith, and get us over there into doubt and worry, and get us so distracted that we just think, oh, God's forgotten all about me. When in reality, what it is that we are the ones who've moved away. God's word says in James chapter 4, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. And so often we are the ones who have left, you know, the relationship, so to speak, not renouncing God or anything, but just kind of pulling back and doing our own thing and getting distracted and discouraged and depressed and all of that stuff that we tend to do. And Nan, talk to us about this, because we got to focus. We got to be Jesus focused here. Jesus focused. Go ahead.
I like that. Jesus focused.
Yeah.
The Lord gave me a poem. It's entitled Believe Me.
Okay.
It's your choice, precious little one, to believe me for your miracles. If you choose to have patience and believe, then your spiritual lives will be full. Believing can seem tough at times, but it's necessary at times to hear from me. I will bless you in so many ways. Will you believe while looking to me?
Yes.
Believe, believe, believe upon me. It will come together and be so good. I'll do what I've promised you I would do. You need to do what you should believe.
Whoa.
There's a key. There's a key there. There's the last two songs. You had them for a reason. It talks about believing. And there's
they
a key
do.
In
right.
this. You know, Ruth, going back, Ruth had to believe. She had belief in different at different levels of as things went, you know. As we believe, the more we believe, the more we can believe.
Right.
You know, when we trust God for, she had the one unit of barley.
Right, right.
And she believed, and then she got more, and then she believed, and she got the man. You know?
Right, exactly.
I mean, and all the stuff that comes with that.
That's
you know?
Right, yeah.
But, I mean, but believing, we have to believe. You know?
Right.
And look at the faith that Megan had in believing all that she has believed. She has now with her right now this a 5-month, 19-pound baby there, the delight of her life.
Zoe
but
Grace.
But she believed, and she walked in faith. She walked in believing, and that's what people need to do. That's what Ruth did. She set an example for us, too.
Amen. And even Zoe Grace's name is Zoe, meaning the God that gives life. And Grace, of course, what we've been talking about, all this favor. Megan, you want to talk about all this? Because honestly, as hard as patience is, if we can learn to just sit at his feet and lay at the feet of Jesus, worship him, thank him for the answer before we see it, and rejoice that he loves us and we love him and bask in his love, we're going to get our answers and we're going to get our miracles quicker when we calm down and get patient, you know?
That's right. And, you know, when I found out that I was expecting Zoe, every day until I found out that she had a full diaphragm, every day, and I'm sure that my husband and my son remember, we proclaimed every night that Zoe was free of CDH.
Right.
And you know, that day that we waited 16 weeks, and that time came, and we found out that she was okay. It was like we just went outside and we just shouted, "Praise you, Jesus!" Because you know you had anticipated so long.
Yes,
and it seemed like an eternity.
Woo!
But you know it wasn't. It was in His timing. And I'll tell you, there were times it was tough because you know time seems to drag sometimes,
right.
especially when you're waiting upon news.
Yeah,
but that's when we need to fall to our knees. And I've done it. I still do it. And there's so much healing underneath at the foot of the cross, at the foot of Jesus.
At his feet.
That's right. You just got to submit. We got to learn how to submit.
Laying at his feet like Ruth did Boaz and waiting for the redemption, waiting for the miracle to happen. And, you know, at this point in our lives, so many of us have so many distractions and so much stuff going on, but there should be dedicated time set aside for time with God every day. You know, when you wake up in the morning, Lord, how are you? Good morning, Lord. This is going to be a great day. I'm going to surrender to you. Nan, you want to comment on all this? Good stuff. Great stuff. Megan, thank you for sharing your story, you and your story with Ben and the kids and your mom and dad and everybody. It's just amazing story what God has done. And I know we talk about it from time to time on the air, but it fits in perfectly today. And I'm so glad that you've shared this. But go ahead, Nan, and then we'll get back to you, Megan.
Well, we have to have a mindset. We got to have our mind set and then stay focused on Him, you know. And it's not always easy. I mean, as Megan and Ben and when they dealt, you know, that was not always easy.
Oh,
she
no.
has shared
not
that
at
was
all.
Not always easy.
Not at all.
But they stayed focused. She had a mindset. Megan had a mindset.
Mm-hmm.
And we all could learn from that mindset. We need to do that in our own lives. Whatever
right.
it is, they might say, well, that's not what I'm facing, but I'm facing this. Have a mindset.
Mm-hmm.
God's going to give you favor in that situation.
Right.
God's going to move in that situation. You have to have your mindset. If you don't have your mindset, I mean, it's like if you go to work, and I go in the morning, and I have a mindset, I'm going to get a lot done today.
Right.
I have a mindset, I'm going to be organized, I'm going to get line up priorities, and move forward like that. If I go in and don't have a mindset, I can flip-flop around,
do
whatever, do a little bit of this, do a little bit, and get nothing done because I have not set a mindset of organization
Amen.
To do prioritizing. And that's what we need to do with the Word of the Lord.
Yes.
And when we're looking at God, and when we're looking for His favor, set a mindset. Father, I'm going to spend 15 minutes this morning in time with you, just praying and listening to you.
Yes.
I'm going to spend 30 minutes on the way to my office, instead of listening to my favorite music, I'm going to listen to your words. I'm
yes.
going to put in a CD from someone that's a good, you know, speakers. You know,
right.
You know, Graham Cook is a
right.
good one. Joyce
yeah.
Myers is a good one.
I yeah.
mean, put in word. Get that going.
Exactly.
Your mindset is, I am going to find favor with God. And your mindset is that you're going to hear from God, and you will hear from God.
Woo!
It doesn't
yes.
mean he won't speak to you if you don't have a mindset going on, but you can hear a lot more when you have a mindset going on.
There you go, Nan. All right. What do you say about all that, Megan?
Well, I totally agree with her because, you know, I see people in my life that they still have their own mindset. They still
yep.
have, they're still on this train that they think that they can be the conductor.
Right.
They can keep adding fuel to the fire and keep charging forward and things are going to change. It's not going to happen.
Right.
It's going to take you changing your mindset, just as Nan said.
Right.
And learning to let go.
Yes.
Because we can't control what happens in our lives. There's no way, people. I've tried. It doesn't happen. And it's amazing when we spend just a little bit of quality time with him, how that our viewpoint on the day can change just in the moment.
Right.
It's amazing how fast it can change.
Absolutely. So it's a matter of priority. It's a matter of taking this seriously. That you can have the favor of God, this whole series, Finding Favor Forever. It's something you find and you recognize, wait a minute, I can be walking in so many more blessings than I have been. I can be getting my body healed. I can be getting my financial provision. I can be all of these things emotionally, every area of our lives. But it's something where we set out to change that mindset, where we set out to make God the priority of our lives, to make him number one in our lives. What is the first commandment? You know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul. You have no other, well, that's part of it. But I mean, set no other gods before me, you know? And that's what it's all about, guys, is really growing our relationship with God. A few weeks ago on the air, Cindy said that there are times, and I repeat this because it just really got me that day, where she realizes she's got to get faithed up. F-A-I-T-H-E-D. Faithed up. I don't know if you heard that, Megan, but that was so good.
Yes, I did.
You know, the importance of growing our faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. A good way to get faithed up is to listen to these shows and let your faith rise up within you. We're running out of time. So, Nan, come back to you in a minute. Megan, let's get some final comments here because we're running out. Here we go.
Well, that sure went fast.
Didn't it?
I just, you know, I pray right now that whoever hears this show, that whatever is standing in your way of your miracle, that you're able to let go and let God clear that path for you.
Yes.
So that you can claim your miracle because there is, on the other side, there is healing.
Amen.
There is grace. There is love. It's there for your taking. You just have to reach out and take it.
Amen.
And, you know, you have to find, I love what Cindy said about being faced up because you've got to find what gets your faith to rise.
Right.
And for me, it's praising the Lord.
Amen.
Because that's my most, usually the only time I can is when I'm in the car with my kids driving somewhere. And it's like we just turn the radio up and we just sing and have a good time. But that's the time where my heart is lifted, where,
yes.
you know, if I've got things that are burdening me, that I can pray and I can let them go. And
amen.
I can get rejuvenated.
I agree.
That's the most important thing.
Woo! Fantastic.
Let's go.
All right, Megan, great. Thank you so much for being on the show. And as always, you're a wonderful radio team member. And the words that have come from you today have just blessed so many, I know. God bless you. Nan, final comments?
Final comment. Just people need to believe. Just start
yes.
where they are, wherever they are. You know, Ruth started at one point, but then as she believed, she was able to believe for more and may believe for more. And God has the favor
yes.
for people.
Right.
He loves them. It is there. They just need to receive it, but they need to believe.
Absolutely. Don't give up. Just keep believing. Thank you, Nan. excellent as always. All these poems. If you want any of these poems that Nan has written, poems that come straight from God, you can just email me, pastor@bohmglobal.com, and I'll be glad to send them to you. Pastor@bohmglobal.com. Don't forget our prayer line. It is there for you to use. Send in the requests. We have a prayer team that prays. You can be on the prayer team by just sending an email to prayers@bohmglobal.com. Say, put me on the prayer line and prayer team, and we'll be happy to do that. As always, we remind you, listen to our Thursday night show. It's a life coaching counseling show, Go Yard with Mama Mac. That's me and Dr. Angel. And that is Thursday nights, 6:06 p.m. Eastern time on this station. And then this show and Go Yard are repeated many times during the weekend, especially on Starcom Media. And we're glad that you are joining us and have joined us today. Go to our website, bohmglobal.com, to listen to a lot of our old shows. They are there. bohmglobal.com. Oh, I love this closing song. It's Not Far to Jesus. And it's just been a joy to be with you today. I'm Pastor Marcia, along with Nan and Megan, bringing you the Word of God this day from Beacon of Hope Ministries. God bless you. Have a good week. And we will see you next week.
Safely to his side. There's no need for you to fear. You can trust him with your heart. It's not far. 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 From here to Jesus. It's not far.